You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I'm Emeka, and I'll be interviewing a variety of professionals in the real estate industry to help you get 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate investment. My goal with this podcast is to show the world that regular people like you and me can buy real estate to build wealth. Today we have Ryan Spearman. He is a husband and a father of two girls aged 11 and 13. Over the span of 25 years, he has dedicated himself to the film industry as a freelance camera assistant, dividing his efforts between movie sets and television commercials. In 2004, he made his initial foray into real estate by purchasing his first rental property alongside his mother. However, it wasn't until late 2017 that he truly grasped the principles of intentional investing. Since then, he has amassed a portfolio of 27 rental properties, allowing him to significantly reduce his involvement in the film industry. He has only worked 5 days this year. His primary focus now is growing his portfolio to cover more than just his living expenses and cherishing moments with his family. Let's listen to Ryan. Ryan, can you tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, well, so I'm a property investor now. You know, I used to be a film guy. I got into the film business about 25 years ago. I work as a camera assistant or focus puller, we call them. And I kind of juggle that between movies and TV commercials. Started 25 years ago and kind of been doing it ever since. But the last 5 years, I've been kind of building a portfolio in order to take over from my film work. It's a great job, but it's not a great lifestyle. It uses a lot of hours and you spend a lot of time away from home, away from your family. And I just realized it's not something I could do forever. So I've been building up a portfolio that can, you know, look after us so I don't have to go to work all the time. And it's working.
Amazing. So film into real estate. So where did real estate even come from? Like, I'm sure you were looking at a lot of things, and while you're working these long hours, you were like, something has to change. So well, why real estate?
Back in the day when I started, I was young, I was 19, 20 years old, and it was fantastic. It was a cool job, you know. You make good money and all your friends are still at university and they're not earning any money and you're out earning a whole lot of money. And it was a good life. And to be honest, I wasn't really thinking any further than that at all. You know, it's just like, how do I get the next job? What do I do on the weekend? What am I doing with my friends? All of that sort of stuff, like usual. But my mother. She was a solo mother and she was looking for a bit of extra income. And she had a real estate agent friend. I think that's how it went. And she bought a rental property just kind of out on a whim and didn't really know much about it. She must have owned that for about 4 years, 4 or 5 years, and sold it and then was shifting overseas and said, Ryan, do you want to go halves in a rental property with me? I'm like, yeah, okay, suppose so. I don't know. Don't know what it means. So I went also there. She put, you know, one half down. I put the other half down. Got a big, massive, big loan on the other half. I had no idea what I was doing. She basically introduced me to this agent. He took me into a room with a bunch of other agents and we're like, okay, so how much do you want to pay for this house? I'm like, I don't know, man. You tell me. And literally they made me write this number on a piece of paper. And I'm sure it was just a complete ripoff. I to this day, no idea. But it wasn't a good deal. Cost a lot of money. Very negative cash flow. But I had no idea. I just thought that's what investing was. I had no idea. And it was fun. It was good. It kind of introduced me to the life of being a landlord and managing a property and, you know, going around and looking at it. And I was just, as far as I was concerned, you hold on to a property and then sell it and make lots of money. And I didn't know anything about rent, nothing about cash flow, didn't know nothing, but that was fine. Anyway, a few years later, my wife and I bought our first home, and it was in serious need of rehab, which was good. We were looking for that to get it cheaper because they're pretty expensive where I live. And it also had a detached house out the back. And so we shifted in there, and I did up this place out the back by myself for a few months and got a tenant in there. And that really helped with the mortgage. Like, that was a game changer having that. And it was also a game changer for me having a tenant so close and learning. It was like having training wheels on, being a landlord and having training wheels, dealing with all the issues, block types, you know, tenant this, bad that, whatever. But the money kept coming in, and it helped us stay in that house and subsidize the mortgage for the other place. So I was now paying two mortgages, which is fine, but certainly not going forwards. Maybe. So we had our first child in that house, and we grew out of it. Several years later, we were about to have another child. So we sold the first house, so with my mother, and kept the house that we were living in, that we had been living in, and kept the tenant out the back. So now we had two streams of income coming in from this one property, and we shifted up the road, bought another house. Still massively negative cash flow, but not as bad because we had, you know, the two incomes coming in. That was good. And we sat on that for about 5 years, but it was stressful, you know, like my work is never guaranteed. You might have a 3 month contract. That'd be the longest I'd ever have a contract. But most of my work, honestly, is like 2, 3, 4 days a week, and or 2, 3 days at a time. And I'd never know more than a month in advance how much work I was getting. So budgeting was pretty hard. And basically all of our spare income was going into paying the mortgages. But I could see the values going up. So we own these two houses in the one neighborhood now, one where we live and one's our rental. And I got some financial advice. I actually paid for an advisor, and he came and talked to me and said, "Brian, this property down the road, it's costing you a fortune to own. Why don't you sell it?" I'm like, "Huh. I never really thought of that, to be honest." So I sold it. I sold this property, and fortunately it had appreciated immensely and paid off all of our loans. So now we were sitting on our own home, debt-free. And it was about that stage I started reading a lot about investing. And it wasn't until this stage. So this is how long? Maybe 13 years after that first property we bought. This is the first time I actually realized I need to educate myself about property investing, find out what's going on. So I learned the fundamentals, and I just consumed book after book after book, podcast after podcast. And it was at this point I became what I think is intentional about my investing. I had a strategy and I moved forward. I realized that you could buy properties that cash flowed positive. Like it was groundbreaking, this idea that you could actually make a profit from it on, you know, the day you buy it or every month or whatever. So I started really small, out of the town I was in. I live in a big city in Auckland, New Zealand, and it's expensive. It's really expensive here. Good capital growth, but terrible cash flow. So I went into the smaller towns, you know, like 3 hours away, and just bought these little condos. And again, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I at least knew how to analyze roughly and work out my expenses and work out the cost. And so I bought a condo, and then a few months later I bought another one and another one, another one. Bought up five of these places, individual places, and I was like, okay, this is cool, but it's not really, I got no control over these places. They're in amongst other condos. It's a big block, it's a big mess. I need the whole thing. So I started looking in the area and found entire blocks at like, you know, small multi-families. So I bought my first block of four, direct to seller from a mail campaign, and it needed a massive rehab. He got my letter and it was, he'd had the same tenants in there for 20 years. It was like under rented by about 50%, and he sold it to me for next to nothing. I spent the next 3 months or so renovating it, spent a decent amount renovating it, and just honestly, the rents must have tripled. It was obscene. And I was like, man, this is it. This is what you're supposed to do. So I did it again in a different city, and then I did it again.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
In another city, and that was 2020. These were all blocks of four. And then just last year, my most recent purchase was back in that first town, block of 10. So that was my largest one to date, was a block of 10. And that was a massive rehab. They were all one bedrooms, and I managed to upgrade them from one to two beds. And again, rent must have gone up by at least 33%, if not a little bit more, and added a solid 1 million to my net worth. It was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so that's where I am now, 27 doors deep.
Oh, so you said your portfolio is 27 doors in New Zealand?
It's all in New Zealand. That's right. That's right. I'm a New Zealand investor. And, you know, obviously I grew up here. And so this is where I started investing. Pretty much most of my education has all been American books and American podcasts. And I think, to be honest, that was a bit of a limiting belief for me. I'd read the stuff and go, oh, yeah, that's all very well and good, but that doesn't work here. That's not the market here. That's not the industry here. And then I thought, oh, well, that bit kind of is similar. So why don't I try that bit? Oh, that bit is too. Oh, that works too. Why don't I try all this stuff that I reckon doesn't work? And you know what? Most of it worked. The fundamentals are the same. And the tactics, you just need to pay attention and you can make it work.
No, that's amazing. And just the fact that, you know, you got into it, wasn't cash flowing, sold it, you know, paid off your house, and you kept going. You have 27 doors right now. And not only did you not cash flow and you felt like the realtor ripped you off, you still had faith in real estate. So what was all of that about? I know a lot of people who would probably, you know, stop investing altogether just because of, you know, the stress it puts them through. So what made you want to continue to do real estate? What was the mindset behind it?
Well, I could see it was working. I could see I had zero knowledge, zero skills, and zero understanding. And yet still I was making money. It was like, I could see the values were going up. Like, it was worthwhile. And it was doing it by itself. I was like, man, imagine if I knew what I was doing. Imagine if I learned how to do this properly. Surely I can make something of this. And then you just hear these little stories of people making a bit of profit from their cash flow and then surpassing their regular work income. It's like, man, that's tantalizing.
No, that's great. And what's your goal with everything? I know you said you want to eventually have the real estate stop your filming career. So what is your goal with real estate?
I just want to transition and do it full time. You know, initially I came up with a 5-year goal to hit a, you know, a freedom number, if you will. And that was because I could see my work was just taking me away from my family and my kids nonstop. And I had no control, zero control over my life whatsoever. And the time of my day to day, you know, if a booking came up for work, I have to take it, because if I didn't, maybe I wouldn't get the next one, or maybe I wouldn't have enough money to pay the bills this month or whatever. So you got no control. And the kids grow up fast and their life vanishes, and so does mine. You know, I don't want to just go to work. I want to go to all of my kids' stuff, and I want to go to all of my own things. I want to go and see my own friends and things like that. And you can't do that if you're working 13, 14, 15 hours a day. It just doesn't work.
No, that makes 100% sense. And you have 27 doors, and I would argue that, you know, you're well more advanced than the majority of America and possibly New Zealand. I know nothing about the New Zealand market or about
there's
the
not many people
clients.
doing it for cash flow in New Zealand, man.
No, that's great. So with the knowledge that you know now, what would you have done differently whenever you gotten started, whenever you split half with your mom?
Honestly, the only thing I would do differently is educate myself. It was fine what I did, and it built up a fantastic base. It gave me a ton of capital and allowed me to build a portfolio that pays for my life. But if I'd educated myself, I could have done it in half the time. I'd be twice as far along the journey right now than what I am if I'd just read a book or talked to someone else about it. But I just thought I had to do it all myself.
Oh, no, I love that. My first three deals, they were three single family homes, one year after the other. And one of the biggest things I did was, the bad thing I did was I didn't have any reserves. And quite frankly, I went at it all alone. And looking back at it, like if I just had some kind of guidance, reached out to somebody who's done it and kind of held that step by step, I'm sure those deals could have been so much better. And on top of that, I probably would have never sold, because today those properties have been worth a lot. So you're in New Zealand, and now you're transitioning into multifamily in America. So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, if it's working in New Zealand, what's the point of, you know, tapping into the American market?
Well, what I've done has worked so far, but it's limited. What it's done is given me a taste for what it could be. I told you about my most recent deal, this 10-plex, and I love it, man. I love how multifamily investing is so much more of a spreadsheet. You know what I mean? You know the variables, you understand it more. I know what the rent's going to be, therefore I know what the value of the property is going to be. If I know what the reno's going to be, I know how much money I need. It's all a lot less subjective. The problem is, here in New Zealand, there's not that many to choose from. A 10-plex is almost the largest you're going to find. You might find a 12-plex, you might even find a 20-plex, but you're not going to find many of them, and you're certainly not going to find anything larger. Through all my education, you can't help but hear all of the amazing stories of the giant multifamily properties. Like, you know, when I first heard there was people investing in 50 plexes, I'm like, that, you know, that blew my mind. And then to hear you can get so much larger, it just, I love the sound of it. I love the market diversity that you've got over there. There's a multitude of markets. There's basically, I look at New Zealand as like, it's about the size of a state over there. And it's one of the more expensive states as well. The entry point is high. The one that I was talking about that I bought last year, that was, it's about as cheap as you can get. And they were 185 a door. So 1.85 million was the cost of that property. And you know, it cash flow is great. The rent to price ratio is good, but it's pretty hard to get into a deal that size, especially when there's only one of them going around all year. I want to look in bigger, better markets, and I want to work with more experienced people as well.
No, cool. And are you doing all these deals by yourself in New Zealand, or do you have partners?
Yeah, all these ones have just been by myself.
That's amazing. And how have you been educating yourself? I know you mentioned you're reading books. Is that the only thing you're doing?
Books and podcasts were the main stuff. And then, you know, there's plenty of local there's local groups, local property investor associations, and a few different paid education services here. And you know, I've got a weekly group just of investor friends that we all get together. But for the most part, just self-educated through books. It's the way to go. There's so much information out there.
That's great. And what is your strategy for trying to get into your first deal in America?
Well, that's the question, man. That's the hard thing. I'm trying. It's hard because I'm a pretty impatient dude, but I can see that patience is the key, and taking it slow is the way to go. And I know you're supposed to focus just on one thing, but you know what it's like, man. It's just, I want to do that. So the way I've...
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I've squared it off with myself so that I can continue to keep pushing forward with my New Zealand portfolio while at the same time shifting into the America. It's just take it slowly. I'm just going to go slowly. I'm educating the crap out of myself properly with the American market, and I'm meeting people, everyone. I'm every week I'll have at least 2 to 4 Zoom calls, networking, and trying to get that side of things up and running first of all, so that I can get into someone else's deal, either as an LP or, you know, I don't even want to say it, but imagine if I could JV with someone, like that'd be awesome. That'd be fantastic. That's how to do it. But I don't want to get in a deal for the sake of getting in a deal. I want to learn how to do it first.
No, amazing. You just drew some terms, JV and LP. Can you explain a little bit about what an LP is and why it's different than a JV?
So an LP is in a syndicated deal. A syndicated deal, you have a team of people that will purchase a property, find a property, and sort out the deal in order to purchase the property. If you were buying that property by yourself, you'd put down your down payment and the bank pays for the rest of it. On these massive multifamily deals, that down payment is still a lot of money. You know, coming up with that money is not easy. So you need multiple investors, and they all put their money together, and then it turns into, and then you go to the bank and get the loan for the rest of it. The team, they are the general partners. They're running the deal. They're like me, the investor buying the property, but they're working as a team. Then you've got the limited partner, and they're not making any calls on the deal, but they've got money in it, and they're exposed to the deal. They can see the deal, and they're benefiting from the deal. A JV essentially is the same sort of structure, but without the limited partner investors. You just have your team putting your money in, and then you go and get a loan from the bank. It's kind of like, you know, it's like what you'd do in a single family home, but 5 of you all together, splitting the chores up.
No, that's great. And then this might be a very ignorant question, but is there stocks in like different kind of investment classes in New Zealand as well?
Stocks? Nah, not really. Not really. I think there are, I mean, to be honest, I don't know. I know there's stocks in, you know, there's stocks in various investment, New Zealand investment, property investment companies, but not like your REITs. I don't think there's REITs anyway.
No, no worries. And the reason why I ask that is because, you know, whenever I'm talking to someone, you know, at least an American investor, I ask them like, okay, well, you got into real estate, but there's so many different options, right? You can max or do more than the max of your 401k for your retirement. There's crypto out here. I'm sure there's crypto. No, there's so many different things, but somehow people stumble into real estate. So did you contemplate or look into anything else besides real estate to see if they can give you the same kind of returns?
The question is, Sorry. The question is, what didn't I contemplate? What didn't I get into? Man, it's terrible. And I'm still like that. You know, it's impossible to not get excited about everything and think, oh, that's how I'm gonna do it. That's how I'm gonna do it. And yeah, you know, I invest in index funds. I put money into that, but not just a little bit each week. And then, you know, there's a retirement fund here in New Zealand, similar to the 401k, although not quite as versatile. Put a little bit of money into that. I've lost plenty of money on the cryptos. But no, real estate is like, I can't understand how people make money outside of real estate with investing. Like, there's some major factors which I'm drawn to, and I could never get away from, and that is leverage. Like, the fact that you only need to put down a little bit of money and the bank puts down the rest of the money to own this big asset. You just can't do that in other investment classes. And the thing that really attracts me, and I have seen work time and time again for me personally, is adding value, is buying the worst property you can possibly find and getting a discount because of it. And you can dictate, you can add the value, you can make it worth so much more simply by renovating it. And there's very little else that you can do that to. Maybe you could do that buying a business. Maybe you can do that if you're really onto it with stocks and shares. But I've learned how to do it with property. And I think you'd have to learn how to do it with anything. You need to focus on what you're doing. And I've learned how to add value, and it is a phenomenal thing.
No, I love it. And for those investors that are listening who don't have anything in their portfolio, they're just learning, they're just getting into it. What advice do you have for them?
Read a book, man. Read a book and do what the book says. It's all you got to do. All you got to do, talk to some people, talk to, you know, reach out to me, reach out to Emeka, reach out to anyone you come across, and listen to what they say, and you'll get a little bit of information. And if they give you an actionable bit of information, go and do that. If not, just listen again, listen to the next person, and you'll start to hear the same things again and again and again. And once you've heard that a few times, like me, I need to hear it lots of times before it stuck. But once it sticks, it's in there, and you, the path is there, and it's pretty simple to follow.
No, I love it. And one thing that you mentioned earlier was that New Zealand is the size of like probably a state down here, and it's hard to get real estate. And you said that the biggest thing you can get is a 10-plex, but somehow, some way, you were still able to do it. You did it all by yourself, and you conquered it, right? It's doing successful for you. What did you do to continue to push so you can get that 10-plex and build on your portfolio? What was the mindset behind it? And why, like, I'm sure it wasn't easy. It was trials and tribulations, but what kept you pushing to make sure you can get to that 10-plex?
There's a few things that made me push. I knew it could be done, for starters, and maybe I wouldn't have known that at the beginning, but I knew it could be done. I had made myself a 5-year plan, and I was 4 years into that plan. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to really push now to get to the end of this. And I just knew that what I had built was great, but it wasn't enough, and I just had to keep push, 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 and if I kept pushing and trusting, then it was going to work, and I literally just made myself believe it, and that's how it happened.
I love it. You mean nothing was going to stop you. And, you know,
No,
I was
man.
actually talking to a friend today, and he doesn't know much about real estate, quite frankly, especially investing. And I was telling him how I got into some deals, and he was like, wow, like, I didn't understand that it was, you know, it's actually something tangible. I was thinking, well, he was probably thinking that, you know, you had to make billions and millions of dollars to get into these big deals. It seems like you never really thought that. It seems like, you know, all you had to do was listen to the advice that was given to you. So you're in all these these meetups. I know you know who are out there, but how are you able to build a network of people investing in real estate? What did you do? Did you go on Facebook? Did you just already know people in your network already, or what?
No, I didn't know anyone in the property industry at all, and it took a long time. And it is quite scary to start with, but meetups was the way to go for me initially, joining the local property investors association and going to the social events and going to the educational events and just making myself talk to people. I don't, it's not really what I do. It's not my style. I'm not naturally outgoing, but someone in a book told me to do it, so I did it. And it's true. It was all true. You just chat with these people, and it turns out they're actually all pretty nice people, and everyone's just a normal person. Surprise, surprise. And they all find it hard as well. And so it's quite nice to have these people that you bump into time and time again, and you get to know them, and you get to know what they're investing in, and you learn a lot from them. It's really nice.
And once you jumped into this journey, was there any myths that you busted?
Something that shocked me, it shocked me that it worked, to be honest. Yeah, all those numbers that I thought were fanciful when I first started learning about it, and it's actually true. Almost everything I've read is true, and that was quite shocking to me, to be honest. I'm a pretty skeptical guy. I think maybe that's possibly even a New Zealand sort of thing. Be skeptical. Don't trust other people. That's why you do it yourself. I know better than everyone. All of that sort of feeling, you know.
No, that's great. And then what are you doing daily? Everyone that I know in real estate, they're obsessed. And I would argue that you have to be obsessed to persevere because it takes patience. So what are you doing on a daily basis to continue to sharpen your axe?
You know what? That's actually something I struggle with, to be honest. And it's funny transitioning from working lots to working not lots. Before, when I had pressure of not much time because I was working often, I would jam it in, jam it in, jam it in, and get results. And now that I don't have that same pressure, I find I don't work with the same intensity unless I really structure my day. So I've really started to try and structure my days as much as possible. So I'll get up 5:30, go to the gym, or go for a run, depending on which day of the week it is, get home, get the kids ready for school, get myself ready for my day as if I'm going to an office or something like that. And then kids will leave, go to school, and I'll sit down at the computer. Maybe that's 8:30, 9 o'clock by that stage, and work. I'll do an hour and a half worth of video education, and then I will reach out to some people to schedule a networking call, and then I have a coffee break, and then from that point on, for the next couple of hours is when I will have a Zoom call, whether I've got one that day or not. That's the time I do it. And then I generally fit an hour or so of like portfolio management. There's always stuff, email stuff to take care of or fix this thing or whatever. And then after that, it's chasing deals. This is my list for today, and I've got three different sections on it. I've got my MIH, which is, this is my min's list, in fact. I don't know if you are familiar with Brandon Turner's MINS acronym, Most Important Next Step. I've got MIH and a couple of steps on that, and they're really basic. Watch a video, schedule a Zoom. Then I've got my rental hunting, my New Zealand rental hunting, and depending where I'm at, there's a different step. I'm just chasing the deal, but I'm working through some specific deals, and I'm working through a refinance application. And so that's another hour or whatever. And then I'm doing the same with trades, flips. I got a few flips that I'm kind of hunting as well. So I just have a list of things to do, and I'll work my way through it and finish up by 3 o'clock. Kids come home, and that's me. Hang out with the kids, and make some dinner. It's crazy. I've done
That's
this year. That's all I've done. And I've done 5 days of work, 5 days of regular work. And all the bills are paid, all the food's coming in, and I've been to school camp, I've been to performances, I've been home, I've done homework for 6 hours in the weekend. You know, it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And with that, we're going to move with the next segment of the show where I ask everyone the same three questions. Question one, what are the two books you would recommend an aspiring investor to read?
100%. The Millionaire Real Estate Investor by Gary Keller. That was my Bible to start with. And that was the one I just didn't believe any of it, but it was pretty cool. And then I read it again. Oh, yeah, maybe something. And yeah, and it's all true. It's awesome. It's classic fundamentals. And the other one, there's, like I said, I just read book after book after book, but The Psychology of Money. The Psychology of Money is a beautiful book. It's really easy to read, and it helps you learn about yourself and how you think about money. And I think that's an important part of property investing. It's not just the tactics and strategies about actual investing. It's you need to know about money and how to use money and how what you think about money.
I love that book as well, by the way. It's
It's so
great.
cool.
Second question, what has been the most impactful speech or lesson that has helped your career today?
Okay, so I love like almost every speech I go and seek out, there's something in it. But to be honest, what was most impactful for me was listening to almost every single guest on that Bigger Pockets podcast from number one to 100, you know, early days with Brandon Turner and Josh Dawkin. The real people that they had on buying these properties and then becoming full-time property investors through it, that really stuck with me, and it completely shaped my strategy and trajectory from that point.
Lastly, if you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of people, and I love having dinner or meeting up and having coffee with anyone in the industry. You always get something out of it, whether they're really successful or they're just starting out. I really enjoy it. If for no other reason than with most people, you don't just sit down and talk about the contents of a spreadsheet, you know, and love it, get real excited about it. But if I was to really think about like who do I want to get really jazzed by and excited from, I mean, imagine sitting down with Grant Cardone and having dinner with that guy. That'd be something else. If you
No,
could
that.
get something out of him, if you could figure out what motivated him and made him tick, then I think that would be pretty cool.
That's great. And how can the audience reach you if they have any questions, and how can they help
Oh
you?
man, search me. Ryan Spearman. Oh, Ryan Spearman. Probably, yeah, just Google or Facebook be the one.
Great. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining the podcast, and I look to have you again soon.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. Thank you, Ameka. It was beautiful.
No problem. That was Ryan, everybody. At the beginning of the podcast, I told you I'd give you three actionable steps to help you get 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate investment. Before then, please like, comment, and subscribe if you enjoyed this podcast. It'd mean the world to me, and it'll help me make this podcast better. Step one, and I've said it before, network, network, network. Most of these real estate investors and professionals that I've been interviewing say most of the same stuff. So there's nothing hidden, right? There's no secrets. I've been expressing it all. Network with people, find people who are interested, and continue to build those relationships. Business in general is about relationships, and real estate is no different. Step two, find a market that you think you would enjoy. I would recommend your own market, but find a market and then go on Zillow and figure out what, you know, the different homes are worth in a certain zip code. It can even be random. The thing is, you can find a deal in any market. So you just gotta start. Step one is starting. Step one is making that first step. And then the next step will follow, and then the next step will follow. And next thing you know, you're walking into deals like no other because you know the market. Step three, find real estate books. Find a real estate book. I've had this podcast for a while now. There's books that people recommend at the end of each podcast, two books. Find a book, read it, and after you read that book, I want you to do two actionable items in that book so you can get that 1% closer. I'm really big on that 1% because that 1% turns into 2%, 3%, 4%. The next thing you know, you're just naturally doing things that are gonna help you grow. So just do the things that you read and watch.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.